Let's start. Get your sheets. Okay, let's start. So this week we're going to be learning about Mary as a child. There are different stages in human development. There's conception, there is infancy, there's childhood. There's teenage development, there's the adults, and there's old age, and eventually death. That would be the basic steps in human development. We'll be learning about Mary in the womb of her mother, and Mary as a little baby, and Mary as a little child. So that'll be the basic topic today, to really get to know Mary even before she was born in the womb of her mother. It would happen to Mary when she was a little child. Now, the importance of this program that will be concluded in the year is the class, but even more important than the class is what you're doing outside the class, as we explained last week, is that you're all challenged to spend some time talking to Mary every day, and talking to Jesus, and talking to St. Joseph also. Now, I suggested that you have this prayer time early rather than late. And to make a sacrifice, you might have to get up, 20 minutes early before you go off to school. Find some place where there's going to be silence. You have an image of Mary, an image of Jesus, and you make the sign of the cross, you say Hail Mary, you pray to the Holy Spirit, and then you read, and then you start to think about what is God saying to you, what is Mary saying to you. So we have to use our mind is a very important faculty, we have to use our mind, okay? And then, when something really seems to touch your heart, you go from the mind to the heart, there's a certain feeling there. Maybe it's joy, maybe it's peace, maybe it's love, maybe it's desire, maybe it could be something fear. Then you open up and you talk to Mary. Then you get distracted, okay, go back and read again. And you read, okay, you're reading your eyes, and there's an idea here, and it goes from your mind into your heart. Something touches your heart, open up and talk. So that's the way you learn how to do what is called meditation or mental prayer. I'm not saying it's easy, but if it can be done, this is where you're really going to go deep in your faith and confirmation. But all of this depends upon your goodwill. And if we're not willing to walk the extra mile, to be generous with God, it just doesn't work. Okay? So you have to have goodwill. And our primary enemy is that, can I say it, is laziness. Okay? We're born lazy. Okay? So laziness is probably our worst enemy. But it's interesting, if you start to pray to Mary, then she takes our laziness away. Very interesting. You'll notice, we're lazy, we're born lazy. No? You start to talk to Mary, then she gives us energy and strength and enthusiasm. And just, she fills us with peace and love and joy. And then that overflows on the rest of your day. Where you really feel that Mary's present with you during the course of the day. And instead of going through a lot of bouts of kind of discouragement and sadness that we all go through, it's going to be less. And you're going to be experiencing much more joy. And it's important not to be sad. God wants us to be joyful. And that joy comes from an encounter with Jesus and Mary. So try to do this. Now, how much time? I spend about an hour and a half in the morning. I'll ask you at least 15 minutes, okay? It takes me 15 minutes to warm up. But at least 15 to 20 minutes. No? Well, say, for example, you want to get up at 6 o'clock, 6:30 to 7:30. Give that time to Mary. Great. Great. And if you've ever had a really good friend, you can spend an hour with that friend easily. One day, most of you are going to fall in love and you get married, okay? You're going to have noviazgo, as they say in Spanish, no? It's going to be easy to spend 2 or 3 hours with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Even more than that, no? You want to spend a lot of time because you love that person. Now, in a parallel sense, we should love Mary even more, right? Because Mary's the mother of God. And we should love Jesus even more. So, for the love of God, try to collaborate. Okay. I'm going to say something very serious. I think the salvation of your soul might depend on this. Support me, catechist, please. I think the salvation of our soul depends on whether or not we're going to take this consecration to Mary serious or not. If not, you finish high school, you go to college, and you lose your faith, as most young people do. Most people, young people, when they go to college, they lose their faith. You're not in college yet. I'm just warning you. But if you have a really deeply rooted faith, you're not going to lose it. Like your daughter, graduate from Ave Maria. Another one of my nieces is graduating, you know, in a week or two. No, she's got a strong faith, right? Because she had a strong faith when she was a teenager, no? As your daughter, right? So if we can help these teenagers have a strong faith now, they meet those tough years in college, they can get through that storm. Not the boat's going to sink. It's like a Titanic. You're going to hit an iceberg. You ever see the movie Titanic? No? You don't want to hit an iceberg, do you? No? Iceberg, crash. So we want to establish a nice solid ship that's going to make it safely to shore. Amen? And Mary's the star of the sea, if we can speak like a poet, St. Bernard, right? Stella Maris. No? So we're going to do the worksheet today on Mary in the womb. You were in the womb of your mother. Mary was in the womb of her mother. Mary, when she's born, is a little baby. And what happened the first few years of the life of Mary? That's what we're going to be learning this week. You can be meditating upon it during the course of your meditations. Do you all have your worksheet and a pencil? Okay? Good. So the sheet shows Mary as a little child, caressing the face of her mother. She's in the arms of her mother and father. So we're going to get to know the parents of Mary, which would be the grandparents of Jesus. Interesting, right? So the parents of Mary as well as the grandparents of Jesus. Topic, Mary's child, example for us. Like all of us, Mary was once a little child. Mary had parents. Catholic tradition celebrates liturgically in the church calendar parents of Mary on July 26th. The names of her parents were Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. Did you know that the patron of Southern California, no, Santa Ana Freeway, no? And Valle de San Joaquin, I'm speaking like Spanish, okay? Because San Joaquin is Joachim in English. So in a certain sense, Southern California is consecrated to the grandparents of Jesus, Mary's parents. I like that. Hopefully you do too. Jesus' grandparents. Jesus had only two grandparents. You had four, but Jesus only had two. The mom and dad of Mary, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. These two holy persons are the patron saints of all grandparents. Your grandparents still living? Any of them still grandparents? Oh, they're already... Okay, okay. And these are the patron saints of your abuelitos, okay? You might even tell that. I'm sure your grandparents don't know that. You can maybe say, hey, I learned in confirmation who your patron saints are. You can say it in Spanish, Santa Ana, San Joaquin. Okay? These two holy persons are the patron saints of all grandparents. They had the most pure, holy, innocent, loving daughter in the world, and that's the Blessed Virgin Mary. Even more so, they had the greatest grandson in the world. Guess who that is? The Lord Jesus Christ, born of Mary. The grandparents of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. Wow. Who were St. Joachim and Anne? Well, we don't know too much about St. Joachim and St. Anne. However, tradition presents them with a great suffering, but then an immense joy. Their suffering was the following. For many years, they could not have a child. They want to have children, couldn't have a child. Their joy, later on in life, God blessed and graced them with the most beautiful, loving, holy, and adorable little daughter whose name was Mary. Generosity. Indeed, God loves those who have generous hearts. Those who are willing to give of themselves and give to others. St. Paul reminds us, it is better to give than to receive. We probably prefer to receive rather than to give, but it's better to give than to receive. Blessed, now it should be saint, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta reiterates this with these words. We must give until it hurts. Generosity in giving was one of the hallmarks of Mary's parents. Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. Tradition has it that they were blessed with economic security. So they had money. Let's see what they're going to do with their money. Well, what happened if you were rich? What would you do with your money? You see what they're going to do. You're going to be really surprised and impressed. Because they gave a third of it to the poor people. Say for example, you after college. You make $100,000 a year. A lot of money. You give more than $33,000 to the poor. That's pretty generous. Well, that's not over. Let's move on. And they gave another third to the temple. So the temple would be the Jewish word. What we say in English would be to the church. So say, for example, you're married, and you make $100,000 a year, you have a third to the poor people. Then you give another third to St. Peter Chanel. You give us $33,000 a year. That's a lot of money. Would you do that? Probably not. You probably want to spend that on a new car, right? Maybe a Mercedes-Benz, or maybe a nice car. No? Or maybe cosmetics, that's really important for women, right? Maybe not 33, not $32,000 in 1 year. That's a lot, isn't it? And then the last would be what? They kept only a third for themselves. What incredible generosity. So they gave, if you're good at math, it'd be 66 and two-thirds, if my math skills are not failing me, 66 and two-thirds of their money away. They only kept 33 and one-third for themselves. That's called generosity. You're going to see, because they were so generous, God is going to give them the greatest gift in the whole world. They're so generous, but God's going to give them something that's a billion times more important. It's going to be a person. And I think you know who that person is going to be. It's going to be Jesus, but first it's going to be Mary, right? First Mary, then Mary, and then Jesus comes. So here we have it. What incredible detachment and generosity. What a powerful example for us to imitate, if not literally, at least in the spirit of willingness to give to God by giving to others. Reward for generosity. As a reward for their generosity, God gave them the greatest gift. A little baby and child, the Blessed Virgin Mary. God cannot be outdone in generosity. When we are willing to give totally, God will go way beyond our generosity. You're going to learn that in life. If you're really generous with God, God's going to give you so much. But if we're stingy and we're selfish, He's not going to help us out as much as if we're really willing to give of ourselves totally. Okay, now, the Immaculate Conception. Can you say that, those two words? Let's hear you. Say it again. Immaculate Conception. Those are two very important words that refer to Mary. So, Immaculate Conception. In the womb of St. Anne, God worked an extraordinary miracle, the first of its kind. We call this what? The can't hear you. Okay, all of us are conceived and born with the stain of original sin. Baptism washes this stain from our soul. However, in the case of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, she never, and we emphasize, never had original sin. God preserved her from that sin, from that stain, and the effects that flow from original sin. Now, I actually quoted a man who was not a Catholic. This was a Protestant English poet. His name was Wordsworth. He says, Mary is our tainted nature's solitary boast. He was a Protestant, praising God's work in Mary. Our tainted nature's solitary boast. He's in all of human nature. Mary was the only one, aside from Jesus, that didn't have original sin. Mary in our battle against sin. Therefore, as we meditate on Mary's parents, her Immaculate Conception, and her holy childhood, we want to talk to Mary from the depths of our hearts and beg her for very special graces. You can make this prayer to Mary. Okay, we're going to say this prayer together. Okay? At the very bottom of the page, you see it? Together. Oh, Mary, as a child and during your whole life, you were sinless. I was born in original sin, struggled daily to overcome my sinful tendencies. Please help me, Mary, daughter of St. Joachim and St. Anne, to resist sin, to say no to sin, to fight against sin, to be victorious over sin. Your prayers to God are more powerful than my human weakness. Okay, so in your prayer period, you can take that prayer and you can say that prayer. So I wrote out a prayer for you. I wrote it out for you. You can say that prayer. And you really say it with real meaning. And Mary can help you to avoid sin. That's true. If you say that prayer seriously, when you're tempted to sin, Mary can help you to keep away from sin. Prayer is powerful. Prayer works if we do it well. So you see the picture there, you see a chain that's snapping. It's like someone who's a slave of sin, dead to sin, alive to God. So Mary helps us to break our slavery to sin, our attachment to sin. Okay, church celebration of Mary's presentation. Every year, great joy, the Catholic Church celebrates the presentation of the child Mary in the temple on November 21st. Every year, may we rejoice in this liturgical celebration in honor of the child Mary. So there at the right, you can see the parents of Mary, Saint Anne and Joachim. Mary looks like she's probably about 4 years old. She's presented in the temple. And now we're going to learn, what does she do in the temple? We're going to learn now what she most likely did when she was a little child. So Saint Anne and Saint Joachim willingly presented the child Mary in the temple when she was very young, when she was still a little girl. These holy parents recognized that Mary belonged to God from the very start. These holy parents were ready and willing to surrender Mary to God by offering her to the temple where she would remain to be educated. In the temple. Mary was offered in the temple, even though she was a child and very young, for a very special reason. God was preparing Mary to carry out one of the most important and sublime missions in the world's history. Mary was being prepared to be the worthy temple of the Son of God. See, now there's a parallel there between Mary being presented in the temple and we being presented in the temple as a little child for a baptism. See, there's a parallel there, which you see in the picture. Mary was chosen to be the human temple to which God the Father would send His only Son, Jesus, into the world. You were presented in the temple when you were baptized, and you became a temple of the living God. A temple of the Blessed Trinity. You see the picture, baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mary's dignity and your dignity. Mary was the chosen and beloved daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, and the mystical spouse or sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. What sublime dignity Mary was endowed with. Through your baptism, you became a son or daughter of God, brother or sister to Jesus Christ, an intimate friend of the Holy Spirit. Contemplating Mary in the temple, and Mary as the eventual living temple of God, beg Mary that you will have the grace to live up to your dignity as a living temple of God. This is a prayer that you can say with humility and trust to Mary. Let's say this prayer to Mary now. Ready? Mary, most holy, from the moment of your conception, you were worthy of God. You lived out your dignity by following God at all times, in all circumstances, and all places. Help me to live as a worthy son, daughter of God, by avoiding all that is displeasing to Him, carrying out all the good inspirations that God sends me. Amen. Mary's preparation in the temple. While living in the temple, Mary was busy with many activities. She would pray fervently. She learned many of the prayers of the Jewish people that we call the Psalms, many composed by King David. Turn the page. Mary learned to work with her hands. Even as a child, Mary teaches us the value of spiritual work, prayer, as well as the value of manual work, to work with our hands and our body. There's a very true Proverbs, idleness. Idleness means laziness, okay? Idleness means laziness. Is the workshop of the devil. Even as a child, Mary teaches us to use our time fruitfully and productively by working hard. As young people, we have to prepare ourselves for a future mission by developing hard, ordered, and methodical work patterns now. Let us turn to Mary and pray to her in these words. Okay, let's say the third prayer now, together. Mary, you are a model for all virtues, especially prayer and work. Saint Benedict was pray and work. Mary, help me to grow deeper in prayer through your example and intercession. But also, even though I am young, help me to avoid laziness and to work hard so as to prepare me for the mission God has planned for me in my life. Amen. On the page, conclusion of our Marian meditation. We thank God for sending us the generous and loving parents of Mary, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. Through Mary and with Mary, we thank God for our parents. We thank God for the Immaculate Conception. Mary was conceived without original sin and lived a sinless life. Mary, say this prayer together. Mary, help me through your prayers to do all that I can in my power to avoid and resist sin. Presentation in the temple, we beg for the grace to pray well, work well, and present ourselves to Mary so that she will present us to Jesus as a most pleasing offering, a fragrant and pleasing oblation. Turn the page. Got your pencil. The names of Mary's parents were, we already mentioned it five times, who are they? Let's start with the father. What was the father's name? Okay, you can't pronounce it well. It's called Joachim. Say that. Okay. Joachim. Okay. And that's J-O-A-C-H-I-M. Spanish is called Joaquin, but in English we say Joachim, okay? Could be able to speak a proper English, right? Saint Joachim. And Saint Anne. You can spell Anne, you know, in various ways, but we'll spell it with the E at the end of it. A-N-N-E, Saint Anne, okay? Spanish, Santa Ana, okay? Santa Ana, Saint Anne. All right, let's move on. Jesus had only two grandparents. Mom and dad. Okay, so two grandparents, the mom and dad of Mary. Okay, these two holy persons are, who are they with respect to your grandparents? Okay, they're the patron saints, okay? So write that in. They're the patron saints. You can call them los padrinos, okay? Patrones, okay? The patron saints. of all grandparents. Okay, tradition presents them with a great suffering, but then an immense joy. Their suffering for many years was, okay, they could not have a child. Write that in there. They could not have a child. Many years passed, they couldn't have a child. Something's going to happen because of their great generosity. Their joy was later on, God blessed them with the most holy child, Mary. With the most holy child, Mary. Did you write that in there? The most holy child, Mary. That's second part of number three. Number four. One of the hallmarks Hallmark means one of the characteristics or attributes, okay? One of the hallmarks of Mary's parents, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne, was generosity in giving. Write that in there. Generosity in giving. They had money, but they were generous in giving it. We have to learn that. We learn how to be generous, not to be selfish. Egoista, right? Okay, let's do our math now. Let's do our basic mathematics, okay? They gave one-third of what they had to the the poor people, to the poor people. They gave another third to the temple. Well, the temple. So the Jewish have the temple. Any of you know who built the temple? The temple of Jerusalem?
Peter.
No. Give you a hint. He was at one point the most wise man in the world, and he was the son of great King David. And his name was? What? Okay, good. You were saying in Spanish. You're right, Solomon. In English, it's called Solomon. Very good. And it took many, many years. And then Jesus said, it's going to be destroyed. So in the year 68, the Romans destroyed the whole temple. Okay, so one-third to the temple. And finally, the last one-third. Okay, so they kept for themselves. So they gave away two-thirds of what they had. That's pretty generous, isn't it? Very generous. Hmm? Because they trusted God and they loved. They loved God and they loved people. Beautiful quality. Hmm? Okay, now, in the womb of St. Anne, God worked an extraordinary miracle. The first of its kind. We call this...
Immaculate.
Pardon? Okay, we call this the Immaculate Conception. And that's a long word. I'll help you to spell it properly, okay? It's Immaculate, I-M-M-A-C-U-L-A-T-E. Two M's. I-M-M-A-C-U-L-A-T-E C-O-N-C-E-P-T-I-O-N. The Immaculate Conception. Well, number six, did we skip six? Thank you for reminding me. I've never been good with numbers, so correct me. Okay, they are a powerful example. Let's go back to six. They're a powerful example for us to give to God by giving to others. To give to God by giving to others. God rewarded their generosity by giving them the Blessed Virgin Mary. God will reward our generosity too, for God cannot be outdone in
generosity.
God cannot be outdone in generosity. Okay, so we skipped that one. So we already have seven done. Immaculate Conception, this means that God preserved Mary from the stain of what? Original sin. Stain of original sin. And the effects that flow from it. Any of you tell me what are some of the effects that flow from original sin? Okay, the darkening of the intellect, the weakening of the will, we get sick, emotional problems, okay? Fights, tensions, wars, okay? And eventually the fact that we're going to die. Those are all the effects of original sin. So Mary was freed from those. Okay, all of us are conceived and born with the stain of? Only Mary never had original sin. The sacrament of baptism washes the stain of original sin from our soul. You can pray to Mary, who was born without original sin and was she was sinless her whole life. Think about it. We can barely go through one day without committing a sin. Mary's whole life, she never committed even one sin in her whole life. Wow. That's great. And we pray to her, she helps us to move away from sin, to get sin out of our lives. Okay, number 9, follow up. So she can help you to, number 1, help you to resist sin. Resist sin is number 1. Maybe you've done a tug of war. You ever did a tug of war? You kind of pulled, you know what I mean, really pulled by the tug of war. And the sin, the temptation of sin to pull us into sin. Mary can help us to win the battle of that tug of war. And then the second is to say no to sin. So the devil tempts you, and you pray the Hail Mary, and Mary kicks the devil back into hell. You pray to Mary, that devil, he takes off. He goes back to hell. Because the devil is afraid of Mary. Mary crushes the head of the devil. I like that. Third is that to fight against sin. Sometimes we have temptation, you gotta fight against it. You gotta pray, then you gotta fight against it. And third is to be victorious, over sin. Okay, I'll give you an example. It's 6 o'clock, you're in your room. Maybe listen to music, doing something. And your mother calls you for dinner. You're kind of in a bad mood. Okay, have a thought. I'm just going to tell Mom, I don't want to come to eat. And just tell her to butt out. No? Okay, then you have that thought. Then you have another thought. And all of a sudden you think, well, I'm going to say Hail Mary. You say the Hail Mary, then another thought comes and says, well, I'm not really that hungry. But my mom has been cooking this meal for 2 hours and she went to the store to get it. So she's really been working hard to prepare this meal for my sister and dad. I'm really not that hungry, but I'm going to go anyway. And I'm going to sit down at the table. I'm going to bless the food. I'll eat it. And I'll thank Mom for making that wonderful meal for me. And you follow it in at inspiration and you do it. And the whole night, after that, your mother's happy. You made your mother happy the whole night. When your mother gets up in the morning, she's happy. And it's all related to that Hail Mary that you prayed, the inspiration that you got, you said yes to it, and the whole atmosphere of the house will change because of the presence of Mary. Right? It's true. But you first had the thought, you know, she's making the same thing. I don't like tacos anyway. That's boring, and I'm not even hungry. I got to sit next to my little sister. I can't stand her, you know. I just want to stay in my room and listen to music. But that's the devil working on you. And you reject that. You say the Hail Mary. Make that sacrifice. You sit down at the table. You're polite. You have something to eat. Hey, Mom, that was a great meal. And your mother has this big smile on your face. She gives you a hug. Thank you, daughter. Thank you. I love you. And the whole night is good. So you start to pray. This is going to happen more and more often. In your house, instead of a lot of tension and sadness and fights, there's going to be peace. Because Mary's known as the Queen of Peace, right? Yeah. So this consecration is not something pie in the sky, something theoretical, but very practical. Do you live it out? You understand what I mean? What a great grace it is to know that Mary loves you so much. I know you get angry at your mother. You feel that she nags you, she doesn't understand you, she's another culture, another generation. But you know in the depths of your heart that your mother really loves you. Right? You know, you don't want to admit it. You know that that's true, though. Well, you know, Mary loves you. Mary loves you even more than your mother. Your mother loves you. She'd be willing to die for you. But Mary loves you even more than your mother. And that's the purpose of this course, to understand the great love that Mary has for all of you, the boys as well as the girls. If you understand that, you're not going to be so insecure and so many traumas and hang-ups, but you'll be living with much more confidence and trust because you know that Mary loves you. Amen? It's true. It's true. Number 10, every year, with great joy, the Catholic Church celebrates on November 21st the Feast of the Presentation of the Child Mary in the Temple. In the temple. Do any of you know when we celebrate the presentation of Jesus in the temple? I'll give you a hint. It's 40 days after Christmas. In Spanish they call it La Candelaria. Remember, did your mom ever bring the little baby into the church? Maybe when you ever have a little baby Jesus in the church? Remember that? Ever do that? I'm sure your mom did that. And you came in and put the little baby before Statue of Mary. Last year, they brought about 40 or 50 little... So it's the 2nd of February, okay? It's 40 days after Christmas. That's when Jesus was present in the temple. And in the Mexican custom, I think it's very beautiful, they bring the little child and they place the little child there at the feet of Mary. It's 40 days, it's called the Presentation of Jesus. So you have the Presentation of Jesus, the 2nd of February, and the Presentation of Mary is on the 21st of November. You got that? Okay, let's move on. 11. St. Anne and St. Joachim willingly present the child Mary in the temple when she was very young because these holy parents recognized that Mary belonged to God. Mary belonged to God. Mary would remain in the temple to be educated because God was preparing Mary to carry out one of the most important and sublime missions in world history. Mary was being prepared to be the worthy temple, to be the worthy temple of the three words, of the Son of God. Okay, Adam. The worthy temple of the Son of God. You were presented in the temple when you were baptized, and you became a temple of the living God, and of, what's the greatest mystery in our Catholic faith? You make the sign of the cross. The blessed what? Trinity. Blessed Trinity. Okay? Blessed Trinity. 14. Through your baptism, you became a son or daughter of God. Wow, what great dignity. You became a son or daughter of God, and after that you became also, so your relationship with God the Father became a daughter or son. How about with Jesus? You became a brother or sister to Jesus. How about the Holy Spirit? Intimate friend. Say it again. Intimate friend of the Holy Spirit. Okay, beg Mary that you will have the... Someone said, oh, okay, how to teach. Okay, the grace. Okay, good. The grace. Okay, beg Mary, she'll give you the grace to live up to your dignity as a... What's that? Living temple of God. A living temple of God. Let us pray to Mary. Help me to live as a worthy son or daughter of God. A worthy son or daughter of God. By avoiding all that is displeasing to God. And carrying out all the... What? The good inspirations. Remember my story. Okay, they're in your room there. You got the temptation to be mean to your mother. The other is to sit down and thank your mother and have the meal and really make her day. So you got the temptations from the devil, the good inspiration to come from God through Mary's prayers. Living in the temple, Mary was busy with doing two things. Prayer and work. There is a very true proverb. What is it? Idleness is the workshop of the devil. If you understand Spanish, it's called la flojera, or la desidia, okay? La flojera. Or in English, laziness. Laziness, that's what idleness means. It's the workshop of the devil. So you don't have anything to do, the devil is going to give you a lot to do. So Mary is our model for all virtues, especially in what?
Working.
In prayer and work. Mary is our model for all virtues, especially prayer and work. Last. Number 18. Ask Mary to help you to grow deeper in prayer and to avoid laziness by working hard to help you prepare for the mission God has planned for your life. Here I am, Lord, send me. So we're going to say a really fervent Hail Mary. We're going to try to really do our meditations this week and give ourselves to Mary. Mary will bring us to Jesus, and Jesus will bring us home to heaven to God the Father. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
Just show of hands, how many have completed your first packet for the week? Completed packets. Okay, so we can improve on that, okay? And we will insist upon completion of this packet. So for the time being, you have two packets that you have to look at in the week. Okay? All of them. So if you're not understanding something, or if you're having issues with some of the stuff that's in there, please see the office or your teachers for help, okay? We can help you, and you guys can do much better than this. And just two out of 100 can make a great work, okay?